Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. Old Chael is a little bit under the weather. Not too bad, but I'm missing a little bit of my aura down here. I'll tell you, there's a fight going on tomorrow. Cowboy Cerrone and Darren Till. And I like it. First off, Darren Till's a tough son of a bitch. And a lot of you guys don't know who he is. And that's just the way it goes, right? The difference in promotion. I like this fight. So Brendan Schaub weighed in on this. And did a show on it. Offended Darren Till because Brendan's stance was just, hey, look, I don't know who Darren Till is. And I don't get why Cowboy would take this fight. So Darren went out and responded. And he wasn't a jerk about it at all, but he was a little annoyed. He said, what am I supposed to do about that? I've been beating everybody. I've been finishing fights. What am I supposed to do? Just stay on the undercard and stay a guy that you don't know? Or am I supposed to take my opportunity and be grateful in some ways that Donald gave it to me? So Brendan responded again. I respected this a lot because Brendan goes, you know what? I'm wrong. And he said, I apologize. You're right. It's a great opportunity for you, and the fact that I don't know who you are, and I cover MMA, is my fault, not yours, and I take it back. Well, I agree with him, but I would go one step further, which is I think it's a really cool thing, and I think Cowboy deserves more credit for taking fights against anybody. And that's really what the sport's all about. I just couldn't imagine any other sport, football or baseball or basketball, where one team refuses to show up and take on the other team. Whatever happened to the good old days when if you could get an easy match, you took an easy match? And nothing to say Darren Till's not an easy match. Darren Till can win this fight. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is I see guys look down their nose at certain opponents and go, well, he's an easy match. Well, great. Good for you. Take the easiest match you can get. And then respect the hell out of the other guy for stepping in to a hard match. Look at what Verdum did with Walt. Any way you want to look at that, Walt stepping in way in over his head, and he's doing it on 24 hours notice. Verdum taking a huge risk. Can you imagine how much he'd slide and fall? And it's happened to Verdum before. Verdum took an easy fight one time against an unknown commodity by the name of Junior Dos Santos. And it lasted a minute and 23 seconds. And then Junior goes on, and now all of a sudden he's not an unknown commodity. But that's the way it goes. Everybody experiences both sides in their career. Sometimes you're the A side, and sometimes you're the B side. But somebody handed you that opportunity, and you took it. And if you made the most of it, good for you. But down the road, you got to pass that torch. You got to pass that opportunity. And maybe you keep it. Maybe you keep the shine, like Verdum did. But maybe you don't. Maybe it goes to the other guy. That's sports. That's competition. I could never imagine the Patriots refusing to play the Redskins. You just play them all. You play whoever shows up on the field that day. That's the way it used to be. So I resented Brendan's initial claim that it was a bad fight for Cowboy. That doesn't make Brendan wrong. Brendan's not wrong just because I resent it. Brendan does make a fair point of why would a guy like Cowboy, star power, can draw, veteran, been around, top contender. For the last 8 years, he's been a top contender. You could throw Cowboy in a title fight anywhere over the last 7 years, not one person complains. Why would he take on an unknown commodity like Darren Till? What, you want to know why, Brendan? Because they called him and they asked him to. Doesn't make Brendan wrong at all. That's not my message. My message is pat on the back to both guys. You think Darren Till doesn't know this is a hard night out, but he said yes anyway. You think Cerrone doesn't know? Man, there's a lot on the line here. Think he's not feeling that pressure? But he took the fight anyway. And it's a really hard fight. Darren Till is not as polished as Cowboy Cerrone, but few are. And the way Cowboy's been fighting, very rarely. You know, we saw it with Robbie Lawler. We're seeing it with Cowboy. Very rarely does a guy later in his career do better than he did younger in his career. Just doesn't go that way. Any sport you want to throw out there. But Cowboy is just so much coming to his own. I mean, all of a sudden, he, you know, you go back to Patrick Cote, fast forward to Rick Story. All of a sudden, Cowboy Cerrone's hitting double legs, doing ground and pound. Where the hell did that come from for a kickboxer out of New Mexico? So, yeah, Cowboy, you know, you want to talk about mixed martial arts. There is no belts for mixed martial arts, but let's say there is. He's a black belt. He is as sharp and as skilled of a fighter as I've ever seen. In every area, off his back, on top, with the wrestling, with the defending, with using his range and the punches and the kicks and the knees and the combinations, with the conditioning, with the ability to push the pace, with the ability to deal with pressure, make that walk, take on anybody on any night. He is as skilled of a guy as I've ever seen. I'm telling you right now, he can lose this fight. Darren Till, I can't pay those same compliments to. He's a rough guy. He's a good athlete. He throws extremely straight punches that are fast. Straight plus fast equals powerful. He's not as polished, but you bet your ass he can win this fight. Guaranteed. I am picking Cowboy. I'm just not on board with anybody that wants to dismiss Till because of name recognition. And one thing we do get reminded in the sport of combat over and over and over, particularly in boxing, but MMA is guilty of it too. The better fighter is whoever is more well-known. If you pull out a bunch of names, and in boxing where they have so few guys that are known, I'm a boxing fan. I'm not a diehard or anything like that, but I am a boxing fan. I could not name 10 active boxers. I could not give you a first and last name of 10 men who are boxing today. I think that's boxing's fault. I don't think that that's my fault. They don't promote the same way that MMA does. MMA, show every single Saturday, 5 matches are going to be featured, which means 10 guys. Some Saturdays, there's 2 fights, or some weekends. Bellator might play a Friday. UFC might play a Saturday. Sometimes they go head-to-head. Both shows, 5 featured fights, 10 athletes. So that can mean 20 guys getting their names out there every single weekend. Boxing is just a different model. When they do a card, they don't load it up. They don't have this co-main event like we have. They don't have this main card and feature matches like we have in MMA. They just have the main event. And the cards are much more sporadic. So getting those guys known doesn't happen. So who do we always think the better boxer is? If we've heard of one guy and we haven't heard of the other guy, every single time, we go, oh, this guy's going to kill him. But we don't ever have a good analysis. Well, he's faster. He's more experienced. He's got this combination. He likes to take on southpaws, or he's got troubles with orthodox fighters. We don't ever have anything like that. We just know, well, I've heard of this guy and I haven't heard of that guy. Little of that's going on here with Cowboy versus Till. But I am a diehard MMA fan. Darren Till's a rough guy. And I was like Brendan. I also didn't know who he was till just recently. But I went back. In fact, I just saw highlight tape of him put out, and it had his fights even from the regional scenes. The guy he's mean. He's a nasty, mean guy. He's not overly big for the weight class. Gives him some speed. I just like the match. I guess I can get off it right there. I just like the match more than some people do. You know, Jacob, I got to bring you in a Sunbasket. So Sunbasket sponsors this show, and they send me food to my house. And it's freeze-dried or however it is you ship food, you know, in the styrofoam cooler container.
So not canned.
Yeah, so it all stays nice and fresh. No, definitely not canned. In fact, that's part of their business model is you know, from farm to table. But it's great. I mean, it comes to the house. They put every single ingredient in there with instructions. they've got this little saying that every meal takes 30 minutes or less. Well, they're less. They're much more like 18 minutes. But it's kind of fun because it makes a cookout of everyone, so it's something to do. It's something for my wife and I to do together. Then we feel like we're accomplishing something because we got this great, good-smelling meal. When the reality is, it was pretty easy to do. You know, we made just a little tiny mess, and all the food's right there, and all the instructions are right there. But then the house smells good, and then you sit down and eat it. I mean, you do get a reward. You have instant gratification, I guess I'm saying. But I need to bring this to you. I keep telling you about it. I tell our listeners about it. But I need to bring you in one. And some of the food is food that I wouldn't even eat if they weren't sending it to me. You know, for example, lamb chops. They always send me lamb chops. They always send me salmon. I know where to get salmon, particularly here in Oregon. I don't actually even know where to get lamb. Where would you go to buy lamb?
Maybe a Mediterranean store, but they're a little few and far between.
I'm sure they're out. I don't know where a Mediterranean store is. I mean, I trust you that we've got them, I'm sure. But I'd have to do a Google search. I don't know where to go. I've got one supermarket, a Safeway, in my hometown. It's exactly a half a mile from my house. That's where I do all my shopping. And they don't have lamb. So it's just a pretty cool thing. I mean, you're getting potatoes, you're getting yams, you're getting these. You're getting a dessert that comes along with it.
How big is this cooler? Is this like is this for like a few days?
Well, let's see. How big's the cooler? I don't know that I could put it in inches. I can show you with my hands here, but I'll give you an example. There's enough food for a week. There's enough food in it that my wife couldn't pick up the box. I needed to pick it up and put it on the counter so we could cut it open and transfer it to the fridge. Now, my wife's pregnant, so bending down and picking things up are maybe a little bit hard. But, I mean, I would hit the box. I probably got 12 pounds of food delivered to me, maybe more like 15. It's a good, solid amount. But the point is, it comes right to my house. You know, I eat a lot of drive-thru. And I'm well aware of, you know, the health benefits and all this to drive-thru. I'm not looking to get into it. I go because it's convenient. It tastes great, but it's also convenient. It's a fair price. I mean, I'm getting what I pay for. I have to admit, though, Sunbasket is the one thing more convenient than drive-thru because I don't even need my car. I don't even have to be out on the road and drive somewhere. They bring it to my door. Oh, how do you beat that?
You say you just recently got one. When did you see them deliver it? You just walked home and you were like, oh, there it is right here.
That's what happened.
Okay.
I came home and my dog started barking. I guess I was already home. My dog started barking, so I go to the door, see what's up, and there's the box. I grab it, bring it aside,
awesome.
Put it on the counter, cut it open, and transfer it to the fridge. Yeah, so we'll be making some tonight. But it's just a really great product. Look, I'm going to bring you some, but if anybody else wants to try it or if I'm slow at bringing it, just go to sunbasket.com/chail. Do it today. You're going to save $35 off of your first order. That's sunbasket.com/chail to save $35. But, I mean, I'm telling you, the food's organic. It's got sustainable ingredients. It's pre-measured. And it's ready to go. They take all the guesswork out of the preparation. It makes cleanup easy, I will admit. And you get to skip the grocery store. So, I mean, what the hell? What else do you want? And now you're eating top foods. And I don't have to find some Mediterranean store.
What's wrong with Mediterranean store?
Well, there's nothing wrong with the Mediterranean store, but I don't know where one is. I'm saying I would have to go find one. I don't know where one is. Tell me the name of a Mediterranean store.
I can't.
Yeah, see, the problem, what do you mean?
They're all written in, like, Greek or something.
You're turning the gun on me here. I'll turn it back on you. Where the hell's the Mediterranean? I'd have to be in downtown Portland, right? You're not going to find something like that in West Lynn, like, my hometown.
I don't know. I'd have to look, but, you know, they're good. I'm not saying they're not hard to find, because they are. They're few and far between, but they're good.
What is Mediterranean, by the way? That would be Greek food, correct? I mean, I'm thinking of feta cheeses. I'm thinking of pitas.
Cheeses, weird spices you've never really imagined existed until you put them in your mouth.
Rice,
baklava.
What
lamb.
Is baklava?
It's like a tasty chip almost, wrapped up in, there's some meat inside. I don't know. There's like, it's layered with some honey or some sugar and all that on the south
oh,
side.
Oh, baklava. I know exactly what it is. It's like a dessert. I mean, you eat that at the end of the meal, correct? Yeah, I know exactly
well,
what baklava
whenever
is.
I've had
real
it,
flaky,
I was,
right?
Yeah,
real
yeah,
flaky,
yeah, yeah. I always ate it with the meals, though, so maybe I did it wrong, but.
Yeah, or maybe I did it wrong. It's the honey. The honey is what made me think it must be the dessert. I know exactly what it is now that you say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I hit it okay. I think it's a little overrated. You want to know one I think's really overrated is tiramisu. When somebody tells me I had a great tiramisu. Tiramisu looks amazing. It's a very beautiful dessert. And tiramisu is fun to say, much like baklava. That's where it ends, man. There's not. I don't enjoy the taste of tiramisu myself. I think it's really, really overrated. And I don't believe that anybody else does either. I think they just say that they like it to sound fancy.
I will, okay, what's another, there's another one out there. Have you ever had falafel?
Yeah, but I don't. What is falafel? That just came around about eight or 9 years ago.
It's like Middle Eastern fast food. It's this like fried substance, and it's like a little ball.
Yeah,
and
it comes in the ball, and it looks like it has seeds on the outside.
It's like and there's like chickpeas in the middle, and some meat, maybe
that's
stuffed
what it is.
In.
Chickpea.
Yeah, I found it kind of tasty. It's weird. Like Mediterranean food, of all the foods I've eaten, has very almost a wild flavor that I'm not used to. I mean, I've had Asian food, I've had Mexican food, I've had, you know, North European food every once in a while, but that the Mediterranean food is just bizarre. It's something they do with their spices. There's stuff that grows there that I've never ever even imagined would have existed. And but that's what makes it so exciting. I like it. So I'm just saying, yeah, Mediterranean food, you should check one out. And it's glad that Sunbasket brings you one. But
there you go. I'm going to bring you some. I really am. I'm going to share this with you because I think that you will really appreciate the food and the service. And it is kind of fun to be a cook every now and then, especially when it only takes 15 minutes and cleaning up's real fast. So I have a little update for you. Joel.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with
him? I'll give you a quick Joel update. So Joel's been doing a show, and he drops like three shows a week. He and Kevin Sinier teaming up on this show. So it comes out three times a week, and it's brand new. You know, this is a pretty short run, but three times a week. Okay, well, there hasn't been a show in 7 days. So I didn't know, okay, is it just done? Is it gone? Is it over?
Have you listened to many of them?
Yeah, I haven't missed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've listened to them all. Get updates, you know, find out what Lad's up to, find out what Joel's up to.
Yeah.
So one didn't come out for 7 days, and okay, it ran its course. It's done. Well, no, not so fast. So one dropped last night, and I was in bed. I was having a late night, and I get a little alert right on my phone. I'm a subscriber, so I listen to it right when it drops, and this is about midnight. So what had happened was, so Joel's working at a car lot, and somebody came in to rob him, but they had guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired the guns. You know, he was shot at. He had to flee. And the car lot, much like many here in Oregon, is protected with a fence that then even has razor on it. You know, keep people the hell out of your car lot in the hours you're not there. So he had to get through this, cut himself up, and get the heck out of there. And he kind of just went underground. He was like in shock. So he is okay. I mean, I guess that's the point I'm getting at. He was shot at, but he's okay. They robbed him. Robbed some money that was in the store and stole a couple of cars. I know one of the cars they got back, like they parked it right up the road. I don't think they got the other one back. But he really thought he was pretty safe there because it's like a government fleet store. So they sell government vehicles like cop cars,
mm-hmm.
fire trucks. So if you were to just drive by and you see the sign government, that's probably means stay the hell out of here. And then when you see police cars, you might even think it's a police shop. So this was the math he did in his head, but I see how he came to that conclusion. Hey, I'm in a pretty protected place. At any rate, I guess my message to you is he's okay. And then they took it down. I heard it last night right when it dropped, but it's already down. You couldn't go back and listen to it now. So why he took it down, there's a criminal investigation. I mean, I'm guessing and speculating, but you know, if he said something and they didn't want it out there because the police are looking into it again,
I was speculating, but why would he take it down?
And this was only 8 or 9 hours ago.
Why would you take down a podcast if you're under investigation? That's almost like release at that point.
But yeah.
You brought up a point. Maybe he did say something odd or that was too relevant to maybe hunting down whoever was responsible. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Or gave something away that it, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it would have been. I didn't detect anything there, but you know, he does work for somebody. Maybe that guy said, hey, let's kill that. I went online and I did a little Google search to try to find a police report, see if anybody was hurt. You know, they fired a bunch of shots. I mean, it was like five or six. He said he didn't even know that it was just bam, 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 boom. But he was the only one there. So he's like, well, they're shooting at me. I'm the only one here. Somebody's shooting. And, you know, he doesn't have a gun. He doesn't. He's not looking to do anything like that. He's just sitting in his office doing his work. So a little bit of a scary situation. I couldn't find anything online. Maybe the police report hasn't come out yet. Maybe I'm a little early to this. I don't know how fresh this story is. I think it's about a week old because, like I said, he disappeared for a week. But he's okay. There you go. That's the overwhelming message I'm giving you is he had some drama and some excitement, but Joel's okay.
Who can say they've ever been shot at, though?
Yeah, that's pretty psycho. Yeah, that sucks. You know, I had a guy shoot at me one time.
Really?
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I have two shot stories. One time a guy
shot
at me.
Was it because you were in trouble? Doing something naughty?
Yeah, the one time in college, it was like a road rage incident, for lack of a better term. I don't know if that's totally fair, but we were on the road, and I had got out. And you don't ever do that, right? You don't get out of your car and approach somebody else. I did. Never do it again. And all I saw, and the guy was in front of me, so as I was approaching his car, he came out of the window. And I remember his hand flipping back and a gun in his hand, and he pulled it. And it just went click. Nothing happened. And it was a little revolver. And I knew guns really well. My dad was a gun collector. We had exotic guns. We had all sorts of stuff. My parents competed trap shooting and all sorts of stuff. And, I mean, I knew everything there was about guns. I took them apart, cleaned them, put them back together. I knew every gun there was. I knew exactly. That was a Smith & Wesson 38 Special. I mean, but it clicked. And I was frozen. I had a friend in the car in my passenger seat. I just came back to the truck. I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "Yeah." And we drove. We didn't even speak. I mean, we were like in shock. Big lesson learned for me. So that was one, but I was on a plumbing job. My buddy Carl was driving his personal truck. We had to go rent a ditch switch. Rented the ditch switch. We're driving out to the job site. And we were in traffic. This is in Southeast Foster Road. We were right on Southeast Foster Road. And this is 7:30 in the morning. And we just hear this super loud sound. And we don't really think much of it. You know, there's noises out there when you're driving in traffic. And I turn my head. And my buddy Carl's driving. I turn my head and his entire window behind us, it was just a two-seater truck. There was no back cab or anything. So that window is inches away from me, is completely webbed. You can't even see out of it. It's white. It's webbed so much. And we go, what the heck? Something hit us. We assumed a rocket flew up or, you know, it's all we thought. We're at the job. We were just waiting to pull in. So we took a left. We pulled in the parking lot, and right through was a bullet. So I don't believe we were shot at. I think a gun went off, but it hit us. And there's a bullet hole that went right through there. So my dad owned the plumbing company. So I called my dad. I didn't know what else to do. I would have called my dad anyway, right? When you're shot, what do? You call your
call
dad.
Your dad.
So, yeah, you call your dad. So I call my dad, who is also serving as our boss. And he said, "Is everybody okay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right. You need to get the ditch switch going. You need to call the police." He had like three or four things you need to do, but he slipped in, "Get the ditch switch going." Which I thought was a dick move. Like, "Hey, Dad, we were just shot at, and the bullet, maybe I'm not telling the story well, but was inches from where I was sitting. I'm a little bit traumatic." So he gives us real calmly the to-do list and the order to do it. And the top one was, "Get the ditch switch going."
Well, you know what they say, work cures all that shock out.
Who says that? What do you mean they say? That's not an expression.
They say work cures.
I've never heard this.
It's getting your mind on something else that you already know, even if it's something that you've done all the time. There's an expression that
time heals all wounds. What do you mean they say that work cures?
Work gets your mind off what sent you crazy, though.
That could be true. What I'm arguing is that is a well-known, used colloquialism. I've never heard this before.
Maybe I'm making something up, but
you did. Now they say it because you just told them it.
Sure, but I know this is from something, and I know there was something that I'm remembering.
Yes, today's You're Welcome, Jacob Latray, ladies and gentlemen.
You're welcome, thanks. But yeah, that's probably what he was saying. It's probably for your good at that point.
Are you seeing my shirt? Are you seeing what's happening as I drink this coffee?
I did.
Is there a hole
that.
In this cup? Three drinks, and three drinks have gone down my chin and onto my shirt.
There's a hole at the top.
Oh, there is a hole. Oh, it's right there.
Oh.
So I wasn't making that up. I do know how to drink. There's literally the cup's cracked.
Hello, Dick Enberg here, and I'm mighty excited to announce the start of my new show, Sound of Success, right here on Podcast One. For 60 years, I've rubbed shoulders with sports greatness, from athletes in the world of football, baseball, college and professional basketball, golf, tennis, the Olympics, and so much more. Join me as I explore in-depth stories from the greatest figures in the world of sport, and I'll share a few of my own. Download new episodes of Sound of Success every Thursday on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and PodcastOne.com. Oh, my.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
I suppose we should make a show today. Let's get into something. Here's what I want to talk to you about. So, Barbosa has accepted Khabib's challenge. I don't know that that makes it official. I don't know that contracts were sent out, but this could be a social media thing between the two of them, but that's as good of a way to make a fight as anything else, in my opinion. Khabib does need a dance partner. Barbosa needs a partner. They're the same weight class. They're both badasses. Boom, let's do it.
But we were just talking about this last show. Wasn't a smart move for Khabib to call out either Conor or Ferguson?
Yes, and he did that, and I got no problem with it. I can't hide from the reality of a couple of things. Look, I'm a Khabib mark like everybody else. The sumbitch is 23-0. I'm not denying him in the least. He ragdolled RDA, which means something. I'm not in the least. The guy doesn't fight but once a year. He hasn't fought but twice in the last 3 years and possibly four. The way time's going, I'd have to actually look. It's been so damn long. And he misses weight constantly. So to act as though he's the guy that you go rely on, first off, if he's not going to make weight, we got a huge problem. Huge problem if you're putting him in a title fight. Secondly, for multiple reasons. One, now the title's no longer on the line. If you're doing television and the politics behind it, and you're thinking that you got a potential of a 25-minute window and it just got shortened to a maximum of a 15-minute window, you got problems. Secondly, when a guy is hurt as much as he is or distracted as much as he is or whatever the hell has kept him out of the octagon, why would you put him in a championship fight? Now he's going to win the belt and he's going to become on the guy on the marquee and you don't know when the hell he's going to show up? I mean, you've got some real problems there. And don't act like, you do, but, at the end of the day, it's worth it. I got to make these concessions for a big star like this. He's not. He's not any of those things. We're not in Russia yet where he's going to be a big draw. There's a lot of people like me that are into Khabib, that do like watching Khabib fight, but we're hardcore fans. There's not a little old lady sitting in Iowa going, hey, where's that Nurmagomedov at? I can't wait till he fights again so I can buy that show. That's just not a reality. So when you have a guy like this that doesn't have this huge upside, that is likely to come in and wreck shop and win and take out one of your big stars, you go ahead and give him that opportunity as long as you know as the promoter, he can take the torch and run with it. If you're a promoter and you look at it and go, hey, this guy's got a very good chance of winning, but he's not going to run with this damn thing, you keep him out of there. So there's politics against him. That's where I would support the Barbosa fight. Let's get him in there. It's very hard work. It's a very hard night. If he wins, it's going to be very meaningful. But it's another opportunity for him to come in, go through the process, and make weight.
But for that little old lady in Iowa, they're looking at the numbers of wins and losses. He hasn't got a single loss. All you see is that big fat O.
Yeah, that's a fair point by
that's,
you.
That's the only thing a lot of these people are looking at. They're like, hey, they've got this guy over here, and they've got Ferguson. Maybe McGregor comes back. But then there's another thing that maybe he goes and fights another boxing match right now. So that's another additive in this whole lightweight mess going on.
Just spilt this damn coffee on my chin down to my shirt again.
When are you going to fix that? Put your lip on it.
It's a lid issue. I guess, you know how I can solve this? I can just take the damn lid off. There, how do you like that?
There.
No more crack.
We're solving problems.
So, there's guys like this, though. A friend of the show, Anthony Smith, had him on a couple of weeks ago. You can't get... Nobody wants anything to do with this guy. I mean, he just... Vitor Belfort was just offered the fight. Vitor refused him. Now, for me, Vitor's a rough son of a bitch. Go in there and get in there with whoever you can. He does have a more established name, so he's playing that little game a little bit, at this point in his career, yeah, that's probably a pretty rough night out. But at the end of the day, Vitor, that's the way it goes, man. You got your come up off of somebody. This is how the sport has to work, and nothing trumps the sport. Your own career cannot trump the sport. And I don't like it when guys do that. We tried to get Anthony Smith out here to Portland. He's still on officially to come out for Submission Underground in December. He's still on. We can't get anyone to take him on. And it's like, hey, not for nothing, guys, but this guy's not Joe Jiu-Jitsu. He's putting everything on the line, chalking it up to a good workout and having a little bit of fun. this is an opportunity for you to slide in your world and get a win over a hammer. He's putting himself out there, and no one will do it. I mean, everybody's so scared of this guy. And I'm just confused, you know, and it's his willingness is what's intimidating everybody. You know, if you'll think back, Jacob, to the dude in school you never messed with, it maybe wasn't a guy who was the strongest or the biggest or you'd seen him whip somebody's ass, but it was a guy that you knew without question will step to the challenge. And it's like, you know, that's enough for me to just turn and walk the other way. Anthony Smith is one of those guys. Any challenge, anybody, any weight, any set of rules. And that is scaring the hell out of people. I tell you this as the promoter of the Submission Underground. We can't get anyone to take this guy on. Anyone. I could throw some names at you right now and you go, oh my God, they didn't want. It's everything to gain. You could go out there in a set of rules that he's never done in a sport that isn't what he does and go grab a little bit of thunder. But his willingness is very scary to guys.
Well, at that same time, and maybe, and I don't see where, when I think, I'm tying this back a little bit to Khabib doesn't sound scary. He just has a big fat O on the back of his record. That's the only thing. And you're mentioning maybe he doesn't make weight. He doesn't look like he wants to. Then you have on the other side, Anthony Smith, who has the opposite problem. He can't get a fight because everyone's so dang scared of him.
Sure.
Where's the balance there? Because I can see some people on either side. I can see fighters. Yeah, there's that intimidation factor. But yeah, you mentioned there's everything to gain. If you lose, it's like, well, yeah, heck, you lost to this guy that everyone expected you to lose to. What gives? But if you beat him, there's that chance you're just like, hey, I took down Anthony Smith, and no one will even question which sport he was in. And then on the other side, you've got Khabib. Why not go fight him, even if he does look like a slob? If you took him out, then you put that one on his record.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I think maybe you're missing my point. The one taking the risk here is Anthony Smith. Everybody else is the ones handed the opportunity to come in, grab a guy, catch him off guard in an event with a rule and a skill set that he's never done. He's the one that's got the name out there. He's the one that's fighting on television. He's the one that's climbing up the rankings. He's the one that should be saying no. The crazy bastard said yes. So now it's an opportunity for somebody else. And they still won't do it. His willingness is what's making everybody go, I'm out. He must know something I don't. I didn't know he was great at jiu-jitsu, but if he's willing to take me on, he must secretly be in. I'm out. That's a weird thing. Khabib, I would disagree with you only in this one. I do think Khabib's scary just because he's very mean and he has a skill set and he's kind of like Damian Maia. He only does one thing, but God damn it, does he do it well. But Khabib does have a couple of strikes against him. If you're a promoter and you've got to be a chess player because you've got 20 dates already booked with 20 different arenas and you've got to be able to move guys, particularly if they're a champion around, he's got some politics against him. He's not a guy that can try. Here, I'll tie it back into Vitor backing down from Anthony. I would like to solve this problem by cutting guys. Oh, you're not. I have a contract with you. You owe me 3 fights. I'm the matchmaker. I'm the promoter. I am the decider of who you will fight and win. I have that right because I'm writing the checks. So it is my call. It's my business. It's my call. Well, when you get a guy like Vitor who says no, you do have the other side of the balance, which is, like it or not, Vitor Belfort draws. And he's going to draw for a while, regardless of outcome. And there's very few guys that ever get to a point in their career where, regardless of outcome, they can sell out an arena. He's one of those guys. I'll just tell you, as a Vitor fan and a fan of the sport, I'm watching him no matter what. So now all of a sudden he does have some power. And it's like, yeah, you do. But in my opinion, it's unethical to wield that power if you're not the one writing the checks. You have to have this code of honor. If the other guy's writing the checks, you do it his way. But it doesn't work that way. So Anthony doesn't have that fight. Boom. What can you do? I mean, you are in show business. You do need guys that can move the needle. Vitor moves the needle.
Yeah, but Dang it.
But I mean, you see the problem there. Like, I would love to solve it like Dana used to do in the old-fashioned day. You're done. You're out. It's as simple as that. My way or the highway.
I'll find someone who will fight.
Hang up the phone and move on with my day.
Well, couldn't you already do that right now? Because if Vitor won't, you've got to find someone. There's got to be at least, maybe you took like some new guy who maybe isn't the draw or the name recognition threat like Anthony Smith is, who's willing to, but maybe you find someone else who's no one's ever heard of, but at least is willing to, and you put them together. Maybe it's not a big moneymaker anymore, but at least there's a fight going.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, that is where the matchmaking balance comes in. I just look at guys like Sean Shelby that have that job, or what Joe Silva used to have. It's the worst job in MMA. It is the number one job that I personally wouldn't like to have, and I kind of like all sides of the sport. I don't really see any bad office to have. I hate that job because, you know, you're a dream maker. There are guys that are sitting up, planning their lives, sacrificing everything, struggling in the gym, struggling to find food and keep the lights on, hoping Sean Shelby will call them and give them any name you want, but make that call. And then you get these other guys who have forgot what that's like. You know, Vitor Belfort, that was a distant memory. He was 19 years old when he got his opportunity, and he's kept it for 20 years. And God bless him for doing it. But he has forgot. You know, his reality is different. He forgot what it's like to be in that struggle and understand this is not something that I have to do. This is something I want to do. And then one step further, this is something I get to do. And over time, that entitlement factor does set in. And this isn't a put down to Vitor. It's just a reality to the psychology of the athlete. At some point, they do get entitled. I just couldn't imagine. Again, let me go back to my football example. If you were to take the Patriots, and who's their quarterback? I want to say
Brady.
Tom Brady. Tom Brady's for the Patriots. So, and he's a stud, right? He was 4 Super Bowls, I think, MVP.
Something like
multiple
that.
Yeah, he's a total stud. You put him against the Cleveland Browns. They're not going to have a hard time with the Browns. So could you imagine if Tom Brady refused to play that day? Well, they don't need me. It's not a hard enough game. That's just when it happened. He's a competitor. He's signed a contract. He's agreed. When you bring my team, you bring me. And I'll take on anybody that the other team wants to put up, and I don't give a damn if it's Cleveland or not. I don't care if it's going to be a close game or not. He brings what he promised he would bring. If somebody buys a ticket, somebody buys a jersey, somebody's going to take their kid out, they're going to get Tom Brady because he said he would do it. And Kobe gets that same credit, and LeBron gets that same credit, and Tiger Woods doesn't pick, well, who showed up this day and what's the weather like and do I like this event? I'm a golfer. If there's a course, I'm going to go golf on it. I don't know why in this sport we've gotten away from that. And I also don't know how to fix it. I would love to do what I stated for you, which is great. You're done. You no longer work here. But in a world of competition, now you can go to the other side and, you know, you don't want to do it this date, but let me put up with the headache because you will do it a couple of times a year somewhere. And it's just, there's some politics that move there. So my tough guy theory doesn't really work. You know, my tough, cold hearted, my way or the highway, it doesn't really work. I'd like to do it. But I do acknowledge that if I was in that seat, I can't do it. But it's still going to piss me off. Still going to be frustrating.
I think it's just comes down to someone has to do it to solve that problem. I think someone just has to say, you know what, let's just do this once. Hopefully once is all it would take before everyone's like, oh, I get that. Like, if I don't fight, then I get cut. Same kind of deal. It would just take someone to go, yep. And yeah, it's hard to say no to someone like that because you know they're going to come back. Like, Vitor's going to fight someone down the road, sure, but not exactly when you want him to or someone else wants him to. That's the only thing that needs to be solved.
No, I get that. We're saying the same thing.
What I'm saying is I think
I'm just
what
saying
you're
it
saying
would really
needs
piss me off.
Yeah, what you're saying to fix that, that's like the only way that would solve it.
Sure.
And that's the only thing that needs to happen.
Yeah, one guy, one time.
Just one person.
And one guy, one time, it'll send a message to the whole business.
But no one wants to be that one guy is the only thing at this point.
Yeah, nobody wants to be it. I understand, but I mean, you got to look, Vitor Belfort makes $350,000 every time he gets in the ring. That's a lot of money. And it's like, Vitor, for $350,000 and I'm the one writing the check and I've got a contract with you, you're going to do it my way. We're going to default back to this contract, which says I got to give you 3 fights a year. Well, I'm giving you a fight and it's against Anthony Smith. And here's the date. Good luck in training camp. The end. That's how I would like it to be. That's how it used to be. That's what I grew up through. That's what guys like Anthony Smith, you know, he was on this show. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand anything about this politics and who you fight and when you fight. He finds out there's a grappling match in Portland. He calls and signs up. Against anybody. Anybody. Just give me a body. Whatever they weigh. He never discussed weight. He did payment. I want a match. That mindset's refreshing. You know, Max Holloway has that. And I'm waiting for the day to come when Max becomes a dick. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm waiting for that day to come. And I don't want it to come. It's going to disappoint me. We don't have very many champions that are like that. Cormier has that. Cormier will take on any. Cormier is about to do it. He's about to take on a stud. The guy's a stud, but I don't know his name. It's like Olzadin or somebody. It's a hard name to say. And I've seen the guy starch a few guys. All the fun, all the opportunity goes to him. All the risk, that's not going to draw and sell. Cormier's in on pay-per-view. He's not going to get points that night. He's not going to get a back-end check. But it's not about that. He will take on anybody. He came from that same mentality that Anthony Smith in this case has, the same mentality that I prefer and that I like, but it's just a distant thing. And I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face. It doesn't even gain traction. I come on this show, the number one MMA show out there. I come on this, I expect people to go to social media and go, wow, Chael made a really great point. Nobody's done it. Jacob, I say the same thing I'm saying to you now, but I repackage it a different way. This comes up at least once a month. I've never had anybody jump on board with this. Yeah, they should be fighting anybody. I mean, I feel like I'm making a really compelling point that would attract fans because I'm applying the golden rule. What do I think? How does it affect me? As a fan, I like guys that do that. I haven't felt that come back. I haven't felt a lot of the listeners go, yeah, Chael, you make a really great point. And I like and respect guys that do that. Like and respect the Donald Cerrone's of anybody, anywhere, anytime, just give me a match. Hard guy, easy guy, known guy, unknown guy. I got a contract, I got to pay, I got a weight class, the rules are the same, the octagon's the same, set that sumbitch up and let's do this. I don't feel fans supporting me in my hypothesis here, which has surprised me. They don't really seem to care that Vitor turned this fight down. There's really not a black eye on Vitor for that. Well, for me, in the world I came through, amateur wrestling, there is. That's called a forfeit. Vitor just lost to Anthony Smith by forfeit. As good as Vitor is, Anthony Smith is better, apparently. Not according to me, according to Vitor. If Vitor didn't think he was better, he would have taken the fight. Am I wrong? Am I wrong about that?
I see where you're coming from. I'll just throw this out, vague question. Are there any fighters that are coming up that have that mentality, or are they just so ingrained in the politics idea that has now sort of happened?
It's becoming fewer and farther between. I mean, that's for sure. It's becoming less and less guys.
So they don't know what they're missing. The fans don't know what they're missing.
They don't know what they're missing, man. It's an old school mentality. And you know, the old school that I'm bringing you, this is back before people were even watching the sport. Maybe I need to catch up with the times. Maybe you should be out there politicking and doing this. I couldn't do it. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I'd feel like a bully. If I'm picking fights that are ones that I think are good fights for me, that's how guys like to say, it's a good fight for me. Well, that means I'm pretty sure I can beat this guy. That's what a bully does. I don't like it. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I didn't like bullies in school. I don't like them now. I'm not going to become one. I don't get it. And some guys, they do have a different mindset where they go, no, this is just smart management of my career. They could be right. I could be the one that's wrong on this. It doesn't change the fact that I don't like it.
Well, it just comes down to who sees it and who doesn't. Like you mentioned, Cormier, he's not going to make big numbers, financial or eyes watching on his next fight.
And he said yes anyway.
But he said yes anyway because that's his mentality. But, you know, that's kind of, he's at the top. He's the champion now that Jones is out for a while. But that's kind of the safe place to be. Just you're on top and it's just like King of the Hill. Like, I don't care who's climbing up at me. I'm just going to kick him and push him back down. But then let's look at it from the back end. You're coming up, you're new, and you want that championship King of the Hill spot. Yeah, you're going to pick those people. There's a bit of politics there because why would you, as a fighter, turn around? It's kind of like when you're climbing up the hill and someone's trying to reach them to you. You don't really turn around and go back down the hill to beat someone who just started. You want to get the people right next to you or the guy right in front of you, kind of thing. So there is an element there, and it's only the way I see it. The only people who would benefit today, at least from that mentality, are the people who have already made it to the top. They're
sure,
like, I made it to the top. Now watch me beat everybody else.
Sure,
that's kind of where you start to look down and go, oh, you're here, and then just kind of push them around and everything.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I wouldn't say you're wrong on any of those points. I would say you're overthinking it. You know, this is the most simplistic thing there is. We're not building a piano here. We're not being architects for a skyscraper here, and we're not creating a medicine that can cure the world. It's an ass-whipping contest between two half-naked men for the applause of a drunken audience and a paycheck. People used to say the sport was barbaric, and other people come out and say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Those people were right. If that's not barbaric for two men that have no beef to go fight each other in a steel cage, I don't know what barbaric is. Maybe I need to relook up the definition. Sure it is. I just don't think we need to apologize for it. It's a controlled atmosphere. You got two willing guys. Nobody's drafted. Nobody has to be here. It's a voluntary army. They're pursuing the same goal. They work very hard for it. They've got real skills. There's a lot of honor in that. I don't think there's any apology needed. I also don't think we need to lie about it. This is a contact sport. This is a rough business. And you're either willing to get, and you signed a contract. You're either willing to honor your contract or you're an unhonorable man. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I don't know where to take it from there as far as
this is where you go,
problem.
Chael, you're right.
Chael,
you won me
right.
over. You make a compelling point. And Anthony Smith beat Vitor Belfort via forfeit. That happened.
That happened, yes.
That did happen.
I will succeed.
According
that.
To Vitor. Not according to Anthony. I got this from Vitor's side. From Vitor, he didn't want to take the fight. You don't pass up on a fight you think you can win for $350,000. Come on, walk out there. It's a maximum of 15 minutes. What the hell?
But then he's picking fights that he wants that he could lose, though, right? Could you see that, Vitor?
Let me process what you just said for a moment, because you kind of confused me with those words.
What
I'm saying is you let somebody else handle it. You know, if you want to go out and politic in the media to try to control your own destiny, go ahead and do that. In this particular case, he did not do that. Vitor has not called out anybody. He has not made a suggestion. So Sean Shelby made one for him, called him up and said, this is the opponent I have for you. This is what I would like you to do. And not for nothing, but Sean is his boss. Sean is Dana's right-hand man. When Sean speaks, he's speaking for Dana White. Show your boss a little bit of respect. My God.
Oh,
is there
definitely.
Any other job? Jacob, have you ever had a job where your boss could ask you to do something and you could say no? And you stay employed? I mean, that's what the boss is. That's what he's writing the check. Show him that respect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it. And so many of these guys, you know, none of this is – I'm not coming on here trying to bury Vitor. That's not what I'm doing. But I am using his example, and I am burying this mentality. Don't mistake that at all. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of it. I've had it with it. I don't like it at all. Vitor and many other guys have done this. We're talking about Vitor. Has come out and bitched about the Reebok. He has then compared what he makes to what other professional athletes makes. He's compared his health care. He's compared some of his benefits and said we're not in line with other athletes. A lot of MMA guys have done that. They make a fair point. But Jacob, they don't act like other athletes. They're only asked to go to work 3 times a year. They have contracts. And then they don't want to do them. They don't want to do the heavy lifting once called upon. So they're not acting professional. To go back to my Tom Brady example, he's not sitting his ass on the sidelines and not playing and refusing to step on the field someday because he doesn't think the other team is worthy. To hell with them. If they don't have a defense to stop and run up the goddamn score, that's your job. And you don't need to apologize. You win the matches you can win when you can win them. You score the points you can score when you can score them. And you don't make an apology. And if somebody comes along and figures you out and hands you your lunch, then you take it like a man. That's the business, as I see it.
Boom. Chael's
yeah,
right.
Boom. You got anything else?
Chael's right.
Anything else? Did I tell you about the piece of crap I saw brawl in Cell Block 99?
No.
All right. Hey, let me tell you about this. So I'm in bed. I've got the on demand. I'm scrolling through the movies, and I've seen most of them. I just got back from Abu Dhabi, but it was in Finland. It was a 20-hour trip to get there. I had no idea how far Finland was. Point is, I saw a lot of movies on the plane, and then I make that same trip back, saw a lot of movies. I then went out to Thackerville and worked a Bellator show. So I'm in my hotel. I got nothing to do. I watched a bunch of movies. So it was hard for me to find a movie. I come across one. Vince Vaughn. It's just his face on the cover. And then Rotten Tomatoes, as soon as I put my cursor over it, Rotten Tomatoes hits it at a 99%. Really? I don't remember seeing a Rotten Tomatoes at 99%. So I'm going, okay, it's Vince Vaughn. They said it's 99. Boom, I'm in. I pay my $7.99, which is a little steep, quite frankly, in my opinion. I don't really like how expensive movies are now. But I order the movie. Jacob, this was the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. It was like a fight action movie, and Vince did all of his own stunt work. So imagine how good those scenes were, right? I don't think you would think of Vince Vaughn as this martial artist, and he's not. He was missing punches that were caught and didn't die on the editing room floor by 4 and 5 inches. And the guy's down and out cold. I'm like, this is terrible. How did this get a 99%? How did Vince even accept this job? There's at one point, he's in a prison, and he's stepping on this one gangster's head, and he's warning his buddies who are trying to approach him, stay back or I'm going to kill him. So he finally steps down on the head, and the head comes off and goes rolling off. And I'm like, wait, is this a horror movie all of a sudden? And why would Vince's foot on the back of a guy's head constitute a decapitation? It was just a piece of crap. Meanwhile, my wife loved it. She's like, oh yeah, it was terrible, but they steered in to the ridiculousness of it. They tried to make a ridiculous movie. And it's like, well, I'm not sure about that. I think they just made a piece of crap. She's like, oh, no. That was the entire point, is how ridiculous this movie is, which Rotten Tomatoes recognized and gave a 99%. Even if she's right, I reject that premise. You don't give a high rating to a piece of crap. Otherwise, I would have got A pluses on every paper I ever turned in school that I didn't try on.
I have seen one movie that was intentionally trying to be bad, and I swore I would.
What was it called?
You wouldn't know it. It was a movie. It was called The Lost Skeleton of Kadavra. It was a movie that was making fun of intentionally all the sci-fi tropes of like the 50s. So like the whole alien carrying the girl down, the horror element of aliens taking over people's mind. It was intentionally bad.
And did it work? Did it work because of that?
No.
Oh, it still sucked.
It sucked.
Okay, so did this.
I vowed I would never watch those again. I don't think there's a way to do that.
Don't make me a bad movie. Don't spend millions of dollars and serve me crap.
And this wasn't even, this was a student film that one of my friends showed me. He was like, this is the greatest thing ever. Don't you, it's so hilarious. And I'm just like, I am literally in pain. My stomach is hurting watching this movie. Please don't ever again.
Yeah, see, I feel like I'm doing you a favor, and I feel like I'm doing the audience a favor when I see a piece of crap like that to let people know. This is garbage. Okay, don't watch Brawl on Cell Block 99. Enjoy the fights tomorrow, and we will see you next Wednesday. For Jacob, I'm Chael, and you, of course, are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
company. We do.
Enough to work together and have three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No, that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because,
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com, or download it on the new Podcast One app.